Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Stories of the New Testament, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 45 is entitled The Anointing.
In the book of Matthew, Chapter 25 contains the last teachings of Jesus through parables. In only 2 days, he will be betrayed by Judas, and in a cold and calculating way, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders will conspire to crucify the Son of God.
Matthew 26, 1 through 5. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people.
The feast of the Passover celebrates the Israelites' escape from the slavery of the Egyptians. The children of Israel were commanded to kill a lamb.
Exodus 12:21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover.
And to mark above their door with lamb's blood, so that the angel of death would pass over them.
Leviticus 23:12. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf of the lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Exodus 12:23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the 2 side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you.
Another unique feature of the slaughtered lamb is that no bone should be broken.
Exodus 12:46. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof.
The Passover is to begin on the 14th day of the first month.
Leviticus 23:5. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover.
I like to think of it as early April because the dogwood is in full bloom, but that is as scientific and scholarly as I can get. True scholars get very technical and hardly agree on anything. I do favor the argument of the astronomers because of the lunar eclipse. Of course, it is accompanied with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In Exodus 12:17, we read,
And ye shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in that selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, shall ye observe this day in your generations for an ordinance forever.
From the time of the Exodus, the children of Israel have celebrated the Feast of the Passover. No one can accurately pinpoint the date of the Exodus, but they have celebrated the Passover somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 years. That has always been among their greatest festivals. And as recorded above in Matthew, Christ said to his apostles, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. What moment in history can match this? From a perfectly human standpoint, one can only be astonished at the Savior of the world's equanimity, hours away from suffering pain so intense that only the Son of God could endure it. Yet, he is unruffled. He feels every prophecy to the letter. As always, regardless of the circumstances, He is true to the end, to the one principle that sets him apart from the world. I must be about my Father's business. Matthew 26 follows Christ's footsteps up to the point of Peter's denial. First, we have the anointing of his burial.
Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat.
The first thing we notice is the nature of the offering. The alabaster box is expensive. According to some scholars, an alabaster box would be given to a young woman when she reached marrying age. The ointment is referred to as very precious, meaning it is rare and hard to get. The following is a quote from the Westgate Chapel.
The alabaster box was made of a hard marble stone which was very difficult to break open. It was designed to be opened only once. By breaking the box itself, it required intentionality. The alabaster box was filled with a precious perfumed ointment called nard, a sweet-smelling ointment from a plant in India, carried over land to the Middle East. Scriptures say it cost more than a year's wages. That would have been thousands of dollars to us.
It is so expensive that it caused the disciples to complain, even being angry with the woman. We cannot deny the fact that this was a male-dominated society, and the disciples simply assumed they had a right to berate the woman.
But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?"
The ointment was also used as a burial ointment. Given the circumstances, one is astonished that the disciples would call the anointing of Christ hours before his death a waste. Their argument is paradoxical.
For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.
The complaint is superficially legitimate. It could have been sold and money donated to the poor. But notice Christ's rebuke.
Matthew 26, 6 through 13. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her."
Though in the Gospel of Mark she is simply known as a woman, many assume that it is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, for they also live in Bethany. The story is reported in John 12. Others say they are separate events. Taking their cue from Luke, the woman is a repentant sinner and is not given a name. Since we are telling the story from Mark's point of view, she shall be simply referred to as the woman. Being anonymous, that remarkable disciple symbolizes all women who give silent, selfless service to others without receiving earthly recognition. We have no idea the sacrifice she made in acquiring the ointment, but it symbolizes someone giving their all for Christ, demanding nothing in return but the privilege of serving. Christ said, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." When does our charity serve Christ, and when does our charity serve our own selfishness? Not all charity is alike. It is the law of the opposites. That which can be done for good can also be done for evil. Rather than the apostles teaching the woman taught the apostles by example, with none other than Christ to validate her. She saw the greater picture. The apostles had just been taught that in 2 days' time he would be betrayed and crucified. Yet they didn't connect the anointing with his death, burial, and resurrection. The woman did. Because Christ was willing to give his all for her, a sinner, she was willing to give her all to Christ, perhaps even her inheritance. That is true repentance. She secured her salvation because she knew what mattered. The apostles must reach her level of sacrifice. And in a short time, the disciples themselves would be called on to give their all for Christ. Most their own lives. I think we can assume she was not wealthy. How much sacrifice did she make to purchase the oil? The event matched the moment, and therefore is prophesied. The woman was immortalized. It is ironic that in Mark's account, following the event of the anointing, Judas immediately went out to the chief priest and sold the Savior of the world for 30 pieces of silver.
Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him.
The betrayal by Judas was such a deliberate and calculating act. He must have had the spirit of the devil in him. It appears as if Judas lusted after the money he could have gotten for the alabaster box and the ointment. His focus was on money rather than on the Savior. Judas wanted to live in Babylon. According to scholars, 30 pieces of silver was worth less than $500, not even equal to the oil used for Christ's anointing. The juxtaposition of the story of the woman anointing Jesus' head and Judas's betrayal for 30 pieces of silver is a parable about the worth of a soul. It brings to mind the Savior's words about gaining the world and losing one's soul. Here, I want to include a large part of Christ's exchange with his disciples concerning his death, as found in Matthew 16.
From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works.
Because of the sacrifice of the anonymous woman who anointed the head of Christ with precious oil, surely a woman who was foreordained for that moment, a woman who, like Anna, who served in the temple daily, and who, like Simeon, was led by the Holy Ghost to the temple when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus, surely such a woman will be rewarded with eternal life in the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.